of no one living past 150 since Christ. You can check out the annals, the journals, etc. And there's only so many years that people get a chance to be here on earth to decide how much they would give for their forever. Just makes good sense to me to honor that scripture that says, make your calling an election. Sure. Since you're going to live somewhere else for the rest of your life, and you have a choice, why not do what the book says? Study to show yourself approved. A lady that lines up with the exit that leads to one or the other. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I've prayed all week long, actually months. And today, the dissemination of material that I believe will help give you the capability of making a great decision. Not only for life everlasting, but everlasting life that works here and in the rest of life. A lot of people wait to get close to what they call everlasting life and don't get an advanced start on it. happened today has all in the world to do with our goal this year for revealing His glory. But we're going to be stepping over two or three tracks to amplify a part of how His glory is revealed. And so, and let me encourage you this. Sometimes I get to go in and I fail to mention it, but if you have a question, raise your hand. And if I can't get it then, and I don't get it then, raise it again. And then, unless we're just at such a strategic place that I don't think that I can stop and start over again, I promise you that I don't mind being questioned. Because sometimes I get to going and I'm so excited about the possibility of you becoming one with what is being taught that it would be very simple for the... You got one? Yeah, it came in the offering plate. Throw it up there to them. The Greatest Ruler is the title of it. And the date is today. Sorry about that. I typically check with them, but today I failed to do so. The Greatest Ruler in the world. How many of you know the most fearful rulers? Those that don't have anybody helping govern them. Anybody that doesn't have a governor higher than them is to be feared. Any preacher that preaches what he thinks about God and not what God thinks about himself is to be feared. Any ministry that can't be questioned and he can't take you to the Word of God and help show you an orchestration of that truth and how that truth fits with other truths. And let me just simplify it by saying, how many of you would not mind somebody taking a hammer and hitting your little finger? How many of you know why? Somebody say it's connected to the brain. You're smart. And your brain gets an immediate signal, I've been hurt. And you know that there's a good chance you don't have a finger for much longer if your brain can't come up with an answer that will get some help for your little part of your body. And we are the body of Christ. And if you hurt, it's all right to scream out a little bit. Jesus, I've been hurt. And somehow, whether by miraculous angelic help or whether by a brother just coming over and putting his arm around you and grabbing your arm and looking at you and say, man, I've had worse than that. You're going to be fine. And my dad used to tell me, son, it's all going to be okay. And I said, no, it's not. And he'd look at me and pat me a little bit and say, it is going to be okay. And finally he would console me. And so the body of Christ, we are members in particular of one body. So one of the greatest rulers in this world, and only for a short time, I'm going to try to reveal the best I can what damages and helps to defray all that peace that passes understanding. All that joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. All about that righteousness where those that walk the path of righteousness have no enemy that can even threaten their future. This is... It's just a future that belongs to you. So, let's move into the lesson here. Could you get that cusser back over there? Thank you. We've had some notable men and women rise to rule humans. And in the process, I'm not sure we've evaluated the greatest ruler of life's victories and defeats. Because when you think about it, even the president, with all of his tremendous abilities to pass laws and get things done, cannot truly mess up your heart. Now you can start thinking thoughts that get it messed up. But nobody, did I say nobody, can steal your joy. You have to leave a door open to them in order for them to steal your joy. Because your joy is very personal. Your joy is very powerful in the sense that it don't start externally. It starts internally. Your righteousness and your peace doesn't start from having the right kind of day. It starts from having the right kind of focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. So, my desire for your future has led me into places of thoughts and feelings and ideals and observance of all gods. Because I've watched a lot of people that seemed happy for a while, and then she left. Then he did wrong, and I found out that they had made humans their gods, because they wanted to kill themselves. They lost all touch with real reality. I've tried to live side by side. I've tried to get shoulder to shoulder. If you understand your lymph glands, and what they do is when you have a foreign object come into your life, your blood races down and starts measuring that object that is now a part of you. I don't care if it's just a splinter in your finger. Something about the white blood cells and the red blood cells, they start working together. And it's called wise blood. Whenever that a remedy is secured on how to secure the poison that has entered the body, and it's stored in your lymph glands, and the doctors call it wise blood. And that's why they get scared to death when somebody gets a problem in their lymph glands. Well, the wise blood now is in heaven. He went through every trial you'll ever go through. And when you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that wise blood starts working in the spirit world, the invisible world, and it begins to come and match off with whatever you're going through. And then the Word of God has an answer for you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no sophistication in your world, and there is no intellectual power that rivals that book that has lasted for thousands of years. The rest of them have been succeeded by further knowledge and books, but there's one book that hasn't changed, and that's the book of life, which hosts all the victory power you ever need. But you can't be a part-time Christian and have a full-time God. I'm here to talk to somebody today about your relationship with what's ruling. God, I know, says, misbehavior of all mankind can be changed. So I want you to get it right up front before we get any deeper into this lesson, that you don't have a problem that wise blood can't take care of. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, that's good to know. Because I tell you what, since I've been walking with him, I've fallen several times on my own. I did wrong on my own. And that misbehavior put me on a guilt trip that was awful. But when I found out that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, I ran to the altar and I said, God, cleanse me one more time. Do it one more time. Help me get it out of my cranium. I can't live with guilt. It paralyzes the part of me that succeeds. Don't live with guilt. Don't try to overcome it and bury it unless you bury it in the name, under the blood. Because I tell you, and I've tried to say it over and again, how many times a day will he forgive you? Somebody say 7 times 70, double. Sometimes we don't tie that extra mile man into what? He says, if somebody asks you to go with them a mile, do what? Go to. In other words, double what they ask you. And he said, if you call on me, I'm the double-minded man. Not minded like over here and over here. I'm the man that's going to give you twice as much as you ask for. That's when you read those scriptures, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Sometimes it's hard to ask him to go the 1 mile because we've done it over and again. I want you to know he doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary with getting you up again. And then first thing you know, he's right back down next Sunday, get him up again. Get him up again. He's not tired of getting you up. That's you that get tired of having to be gotten up. Call on me, he said, in the day of trouble. I will hear you and I will come to you. Oh, somebody ought to praise him a little bit for that. Surely most everybody's had a little of that help. So I want you to know that the only sin that cannot be forgiven is what? Somebody say it. Blasphemy. So if you don't know the understanding of blasphemy, you can get messed up big time. Blasphemy is just not believing in the Holy Ghost. Because you can't get all this work of the Spirit is called the work of the Holy Ghost. And so the way to get that wise blood to the problem going on in your life, I know you can help me. And I'm calling on your name. And he said, you won't be a child. He said, man, if an earthly father, if his child asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? He's going to give him bread. An earthly dad would do that. He said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your kids, how much more would your heavenly Father reach into the very depths of mercy and drag out help in the time of need? And that's almost verbatim. But he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, or it's blasphemous. Because you can't get any help. Because faith is what connects you. But if you get connected and just stand there and hold hands, there's probably not going to be any babies. There's got to be production. He said, I want you to know I want profitability out of your life. All I ask is you surrender to me, and I'll be the power source that will give you production. But love is the key for producing everything. And if you'll love your neighbor, and you'll love your enemies, and you'll love the God, Lord God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you shall never lack for my mercy and my teaching and my glory and my power, because I am the God that created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. And I keep the sun in its orbit, and I keep the moon in its place, and I'm going to help you stay under the shadow of my wings. So I hope I got it through to you, because on the rest of this trip, there's going to be a few curves that's going to be a little tough. So I want you to understand, before we get to going on the highway and going 90 miles an hour, if you go by some place in your life and you realize that you might not have done it all right, it's okay to say, God, wow, I see it. Forgive me for not knowing that. Forgive me for not heeding that. 7 times 70, if you'll confess. John, the book of John, 1 John says it, and the book of Romans says it. So it's a witness. If you will confess that you did wrong, the minute you confess it, you'll be restored to wherever you were in your journey with Jesus. But if you don't confess it, it'll be like one of those stickers. As though it's small, it will create an infestation and then poison the rest of the system. It makes sense to be honest. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though there be God's many, somebody say the rest of it. Only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They can argue all they want to, but you've got absolutes in the Bible. And when you see an absolute, he wrote it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. You study how Adam and Eve lost the garden. And there's several steps, but I'll take you to the last one real quickly. And that is, if you don't understand Satan started in heaven, you won't get a lot of this. Satan got his training up there. He knew God. He knows how to mess you up, because he knows all it takes to separate you from God is to violate the following by faith, that truth. So if he can just get you messed up on that, you're on a detour. Somebody said, well, I'm an average Christian. There's no such thing as average Christian. He said, you're either for me or against me. It's either white or black. You can identify, I'm either for him or against me. And you can see people that have sat stale for years, they're not for him. Because anything that has life and is feeding properly is growing. It's producing fruit. Or it has become stale. I don't know how to say it nice. I've already told you, if you sense a place in your life where you have taken a wrong turn and you have sat down and started waiting for God to do everything for you, then get up. Rise up in faith against whatever you're facing and say, I come to you in the name that's the only name in heaven and in earth. I come to you. Blood of the Lamb. I come to you with the forgiveness of Almighty God. You're not holding me hostage for any sin I ever committed again. I'm not living in guilt another day. I'm moving forward. He invited me into the rest of my tomorrows. Unbelief is blasphemy. And we blaspheme the Holy One when we turn down part of his truths. These are some of the noted leaders
that are shaping the world. You and your children are growing up in. I put their names up there. I hardly know any of them. I actually hardly know anything about most of them. This lady right here, that's a very interesting read. This man here is more interesting. How the Democrats, in their concept of what he did to the Oval Office, and they want to kill anybody that has a few things going on in their life. I promise you they're not going to deliver you from what's happening in our social system. I'm not against any one of them in the sense that I don't love them. I care about America, and I'm going to do what I can wherever I go through the streets to raise up the value of America. I am America. When you talk against America, you talk against me. I am a USA citizen. I have the right to vote every time. And I have the right to, by love and faith, encourage by knowledge men and women how to vote. Not because I'm prejudiced, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, but because I find the best I can. And that's who I vote for. And I'm telling you, the pick is poor right now. But I'm telling you, we're going to do the best we can and ask God to help us. And he said, if you call on me, I will help you. And you'll get the best you can for your buck. But don't you get isolated to some party. You vote for the right person the best you can. And stay with your mate. You got them? Help them. I'm trying to get a steamroll going. It's time for us to fight. Not each other. The Bible teaches us we got fight in us. I wish somebody would double up your fist. What you want to fight is unbelief. He said, fight the good fight of faith and keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. If you ever got out of sin, you can get out again. And you can get out again. If you ever had a bad day going and got up, you can get up again. I'm here to tell you that the devil can't hold you hostage, and he can't keep your joy, and he can't keep your peace, and he can't do it. You can surrender it. But Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our joy. So quit trying to help people stay in shape. I was listening to Jimmy Swaggart's song, Somebody Cares for You. And I was telling somebody, and they tried to come down hard on him. And it hit me so hard. People don't always want to see people get back to God. Jimmy Swaggart's my brother. I'm not unaware that he made a mistake. But I'm not unaware that I've made many. Not on the same level, but sin is sin. Now, the one about adultery, I'll just help you with this because as a kid, I didn't understand the difference. But sin of adultery, and that is a sin against the flesh. The rest of them are sins of the spirit. That's a whole lot different ballpark. And I don't have time to give you a real Bible study on that, but just believe me, it's in the book. Spirit rules the soul. One word leads all things going on or ruling our world. We'll discover in these next few minutes for the trek for glorifying the Lord. Much of our world, including many religious systems, has become so focused on what they want from God, they have failed to see absolutes as critical. God, the Lord God, talks about the gods men created in the Old Testament. You have to go back to the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and you will see that they created gods out of wood. They created gods out of silver. They created gods out of gold. They created gods out of memories. They created all kind of gods. And some of them, the only god they had left was their past. And when you worship your past more than your future, you have neglected to understand he ever liveth. That's why we don't spend a lot of time. We enjoy the memories of history and the successes for one reason. It's because we made it through some hard times. But we didn't make it on our own. And that wasn't the last victory you're going to have. You may have had a victory yesterday or last month, but that's not. We rejoice against our enemy, because that enemy is going to show back up next month. And I'm telling you, the fact that I had a victory is indicative of the fact that I'm going to have another one, because I'm not giving up my trust in God, because he lets me hit troubles over and over again. And the more I trust him, the more I have victories. And the more victories you carry to the eternal world, the greater your reward is. And that's why the Bible said he's going to reward every man according to his works. He put it there because you're going to be rewarded according to your works. You think God's going to reward everybody that just barely struggles into church like he does all those Sunday school teachers that work all week, decorate all week, all those bus workers that get out here and ride the bus? And no. Friend, don't you got to get to the judgment seat of Christ when you see the rewards handed out. Don't you think that those people that pour themselves out in this local church week after week, cleaning and painting and working hard and giving their extra time to others, and you need to tell them, hey, thank you. Join with them at spirit at least, and that'll help get you a reward. When we look and see the thousands of religious systems, it's time to look up. Because he said in the last days, many deceivers will come. Somebody say many. We got thousands of different sects. A little hard to say that word without making you think of another one. S-E-C-T-S. Groups that are claiming they've got a better hold on God. Somebody say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Don't get messed up with all that stuff. There's dozens of people that are coming up, and they got more coming. We had a little down surge. We had 422,000 churches in the USA some years ago, and it dropped off to 330,000. Now, right now, there's a little surge going back up. Now, that can mean good, or it can mean that there's just more deceivers. But he said, anybody that don't believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, he said, they're already off track. Because if the foundation's not correct, I can tell you that you're going to have a crooked building. And he said, you can build a whole lot of stuff on a crooked foundation. But he said, the foundation is the only thing that's going to stand the test of the storm. Go read the two houses. That one was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. Sand represents the thinking of man, and the rock represents the purity of doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to preach to you today. The choice is yours. And the devil can't steal your joy. You can blame it on him, but you surrendered to him some truth that God had built into your life to give you glory and honor that matches that marvelous name. I'm talking, there ought to be a victory cloud that's hanging over every one of us that attend a church that preaches the glory of a Holy Ghost, the glory of a name that's above every name in heaven and in earth, the glory of a word that is holy from its roots to its destiny. I'm talking about a holy God. Oh, could somebody stand and give him praise in this house? He is a great God. He is a mighty God. He is going to absolutely help deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. I wish we'd be a little lavish with it. He can afford to take time to help you with a little lavish praise. Oh, there's a spirit of praise about to grip this place. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, it's time for us to sing that song to ourselves, if nobody else. When I think of what the Lord has done, I want to shout, shout, shout. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, I want to clap, clap, clap. When I think of all he's done in my life to save me every day of my life, makes me want to dance, dance, dance all night long. He's a great God. I wish you'd give somebody a high five around you. That's it. Give them a high five. Listen, that can be just as holy as clapping your hands. Be seated, if you will. I don't want y'all to get taking too much of my time here praising. Now, here's what we know. Evil men. I want to tell it to you again so you understand who's evil. Whatsoever is not of faith is evil. Don't you cave in on your worst day and say, I don't know if God loves you. That's sin. Sin is anything that separates you from God. And a lack of faith is one of the most critical issues. You want to be extremely careful, because the tongue in the book of James tells you without a question, your ship is going where your tongue, the rudder, takes you. That's why you want to listen to your own conversation more than you listen to everybody else's. You'll come out way ahead if you listen to yourself. I don't know if God loves you or not. You ought to come to your brother and sister and tell them, look here, what do you mean you don't know if he loves you? Did he ever call you? Did he ever forgive you? Did he ever share wisdom with you? What do you mean he don't love you? You're going through a trial. That's all it is, a trial. You're coming through, brother. But when you come out, and I'll tell y'all, this is the answer God gave me. The most tough trial of my life. And I mean, it was there. Can't probably tell it. I'm weeping because the joy of it's so strong. But this was the wisdom that I found in that horrible tunnel. Through every dark tunnel that God allows you to go through, he has hidden certain treasures that only the person going through that dark valley has the option of finding. If you hold to the light, the word, when you get to that spot where the beauty is hidden, the light will shine on the gold that's hidden in the darkest valley you ever go through. And he said, when you look at that gold, I put it there for you. In the valley, he restoreth my soul, because he's got jewels hidden in your valley. And if you're going through a valley, get that book and get that light back out, and you look at the word of God, because it's going to put hope, and hope will save you, because hope will find the jewel in the middle of your darkest valley. And when you come out the other end, you'll be like your pastor. I'm telling you, not perfect, but having been perfected in the fear of God, because greater is he that's for you than he that's against you. He didn't send you through a dark spot to stay there, but unbelief will keep you there, because frustration sets in, and then you just want to sit down and give up. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, get up again. How many of you remember Alan Oggs preaching that to us over in the other sanctuary years ago? You got to have the want to.
Born with his heels touching the back of his head, had limited chance to live.
That close friend was always pulling pranks on his wife, but she didn't know Alan.
When you get to the table, you know, Alan, the first time you heard him talk, and they were having peas, English peas. Here's the way he reached into the bowl. And he realized he was going to spill them all over the table. So he asked my friend's wife, said, would you give me some peas? Well, her husband's always joking around. You know, she thought his friend was. She said, no, sir. Around here, we get them ourselves.
Peas all across the table, and he finally got three or four of them on his plate. He found her an hour later, sobbing in the other room because she had misjudged the setting. Don't misjudge what you're going through. He cared for you. He really cares for you. Before you got here, he went to that cross so you could have a bucket load of forgiveness. But not just forgiveness. You could have bucket loads of wisdom so that when you get knocked down, you can get up again. And when you see your boy going through marriage difficulties, and they may come, may not. I just have a feeling they will. When they're going through hell, wisdom is knowing how to handle righteousness. You go to him, and you may know he's the one that slapped her and pulled her ear nearly off her head. And you go hug him. And wisdom says, though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. We're going to work this out, and you're going to be healed because he's going to make a commitment. I'll never do that to you again because it hurt me more than it hurt you. And I used to think Dad was lying when he'd tell me that. He'd get that belt out, 52 inches of belt. It's me little skinny people. You don't even have a belt. Dad had a big belly and a big belt. And one of my friends told me one time, said, let me tell you something about that belt. He said, if you'll get real close to him, he can't hit you as hard.
He started trying to hug me next time I'm right up against him. He'd try to hold me out, and I'd get right up against him. Way out here.
But the tip kept catching me.
I tried them all.
I'm here today. Tell you, I don't care where you've been, the greatest ruler is not Bill Clinton. And it wasn't that guy that's the CEO of Ford Motor Company that has set record sales for Ford Motor in the last few years because he started giving the employees a lot more money than they were making in bonuses. And the average of those bonuses was $8,000 a year. And the employees followed the prescription of the Bible. If you give, it shall be given. Pressed down, running over. And they got excited because somebody cared for them. Started watching out for them. Started wanting them to be blessed. And they said, you're not going to bless me. And I don't think they ever said it visibly. But I think they realized, I'm going to tell you, you've been blessing me. We're going to give you a full 8 hours of great work. We're going to pour our lives out for you. We're going to bless your work. And they have set record sales above all other industries in the automotive market. When you see these things come to pass, don't be fearful. Because the first thing that happens to most humanity when it gets a problem going in its life. Oh my God, I had a friend that got a pimple there. Turned into blood poisoning. Blood poisoning got a hold of the heart. Oh my God. The first thing you do, you get up every day and feel of it. Is it growing? Do that for your faith, and you'll find the little pimple disappearing. Am I getting more of the word? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Is my faith growing? That's what I want to know. Is my faith growing? what's really ruling my life. Will, is my faith growing? We're all shocked at the simplicity of the gospel. Obedience is a thing Christ learned. He demonstrated it so we would understand that obedience don't always produce a life without pain. But obedience always produces the Father's good pleasure, and that is you're going to get up again. And I don't care if Satan knocks you down or if you just surrender and fall down. He said, I'm going to tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice, because obedience makes you one with the author of the truth. And when you are in Christ, a new creature, your obedience to the word gets you up again. Then it takes you out onto the big highway where adulthood is and marriage is, and where all kind of temptations come, and where kids get in your way, and where friends start saying stupid stuff, and all of a sudden your obedience will cause you to walk right through the wall of doubt and fear and discomfiture and all of that junk, and you will be in Christ, that new creature that I'm talking about. All things become possible and nothing shall be impossible, because you're hid with Christ in God, and Christ was obedient to the death of the cross so he could have the resurrection come. And I want to be hid with Christ. I don't want to be living in a graveyard when the saints of God are resurrected. Thank you. Well, you're doing good, man. I think me and you are a team. We're going to have to continue this next week. Let's stand. I don't want to start on this and not be able to finish it. I wish all over the building. And let me just give you a word to be studying. And I'm not talking about just go read it. I want you to spend some time meditating on it. Somebody say imaginations. Because fear produces imaginations that say you're going to fail. Let me tell you something. This is not the first year we've had political problems. Last year wasn't the first year we had economic disaster in different areas. But somebody say, if God be for us, who then? Don't you get worried about the politicians. You worry about that faith. If you're going to worry about anything, you crawl to Calvary if you have to. And you get a hold of the blood. Because here's what the book says. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We got the water heating. If there's anybody here never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, somebody say the removal. You understand, when you get remitted, it don't mean that you won't ever sin again. It just means that you by faith accepted the word that says when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we are remitted by our sins, or for our sins. And as far as the east is from the west, they're covered by faith in the blood that was spilled at Calvary. That's why you see the apostles who walked with him, who shared his miracles on the day of Pentecost, when in the second chapter of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and then down around verse 14, when they got the Holy Ghost, everybody said, these guys are drunk with wine. Does that sound like just shaking a preacher's hand? These men are drunk with wine, as you might suppose. And what's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what happened. They, by faith, grabbed hold of the truths of God, and they became one with God Almighty. And that transmission of the cross and the blood and the resurrection comes in full force by faith. It don't happen any other way. And all of their sins were washed away as they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden they went back to infancy. If anybody ever cost you much at all on talking in tongues, just ask them what language they spake the first 9 months is here. This stuff's simple. I got it. How many of you started talking German? You talked a spiritual language, and your mama discerned the spirit, and she said, he's mad. Next time she said, he's hungry. What was the difference? They were saying the same thing to daddy. Mamas are so much more discerning. They look in the eyes of their kid and say, you're sick. No, I feel fine. I got to go to that party. No, you're sick. You're going to bed. And they get mad and y'all fight it out. Right? Am I anywhere close to right? So when that day happened, verse 37, they had just preached, two of them, verse 21. Verse 21 of Acts, the second chapter, when Peter was preaching the message on the day of Pentecost, says, and they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same crowd, same preacher. Just a few verses later, verse 37, when they heard this, what did they hear? They that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they heard this, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Spirit of the Lord calls. And God's calling somebody today, and you're going to decide based on your imagination. Because your imagination is an image you have. And the imagination drives us to fear and to make judgments and to make decisions. Imaginations are killing. And I'm going to prove it to you by Scripture next week if we can. Let's pray. I'm talking about talk to Jesus. I'm not talking about just going through the routine. Let's talk to Jesus. He hears your heart anyhow, but he wants to hear you confess it with your mouth. I trust you. I trust your word. I don't trust men, but I trust your word. I trust what you're trying to do. I never see where you wanted to hurt anybody. I've never seen where you wanted to do anything against anybody. Where it's right, why don't you join hands? The Bible said if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Why don't you pray for your husband, wife, your neighbor, your child, your brother, sister? Let's pray for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That no matter what truth he presents us, we believe in him. To believe in him is to practice his truth. Otherwise, it's just a statement. If you have to go, please feel free to leave. But if there's anybody that would like to slip down to the front, spend a little time in a special way. True.